www.thecityofdavid.com.
Well, good morning again. If you're new to this series that we're in, let me catch you up. And if you've been along for the ride, this is some good review. We're doing a series called Over Under. And the idea is that we're looking at how oftentimes we get overwhelmed in life, and yet meanwhile, you know, we get overwhelmed by things like life's circumstances or our sin, a fear and insecurity, uncertainty, those sorts of things. And so we're overwhelmed by life, and meanwhile, we often have this underwhelming experience with God Himself. And as we've mentioned the last couple of weeks, if our experience with God is underwhelming, the problem isn't God. The problem isn't God. He is anything but that. But there might be a few things in our own lives that are maybe contributing to that experience being an underwhelming one. So that's what we're kind of looking at. And the first thing we talked about, and the first thing we ought to look at, if we have an underwhelming experience of God, the issue may be, first of all, our vision of God. It might be our vision of God, or more specifically, our vision of God's greatness. Because when you consider the picture of God that we're looking at in Isaiah chapter 6, God, as we said, is anything but underwhelming. Just listen to this picture once again. You can follow along in the Bible from our seats. It's page 571, but the text will be on the screen. Chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train, or hem, of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. Right? An incredible vision of God that Isaiah sees. And so perhaps if our experience with God is overwhelming, we should consider, is our vision of God accurate? Do we really have a picture of his holiness and his greatness? The second thing we should check out is this, if we're having an underwhelming experience with God, is our humility before God. Our humility before God. And we spoke about this last week. As you continue on, what we see Isaiah responding to this image of God that he sees, and in verse 5 it says, "And I said, woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." "For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And then it says, "Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips, so your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.'" So what we see in these couple of verses is that Isaiah is deeply aware of his sin and his guilt before God. He came to God in a place of humility and was shown incredible grace. And when we come before God humbly, like Isaiah did, God extends his grace to us, just like he did to Isaiah. However, if there is sin in our lives that doesn't get dealt with, it disrupts our relationship with God. Maybe there are sinful attitudes and behaviors or patterns that we are too prideful to surrender to him. Well, disobedience to God will prevent us from establishing a close relationship with him. But if we humble ourselves before him, he will extend grace to us. As the scripture said, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So we approach to him in humility. So if you have an underwhelming experience with God, maybe it's your vision of God that we just don't quite grasp how great God is. Or maybe it's our humility before God, that we need to grow in that. So those are the two things we talked about over the past weeks. But there's a third thing that can contribute to our overwhelming experience of God, and we also see that in this passage. And the third thing is this, it's our connection with God. Our connection with God. Isaiah makes a mention of this in a very short but important segment, I think, of this passage. And it's in verse 8. In fact, it's not even the whole verse, just 8 words. "And I heard the voice of the Lord." And I heard the voice of the Lord. Now, you have that verse in your notes. If you're taking notes, I encourage you just underline the word voice for a moment. Okay? Now, the word call, Q-O-L, as we kind of transliterate it into English, pronounced call, means sound or voice. It means sound or voice. Now, sometimes this word call in the scripture is used to describe a human voice or a multitude of people. Sometimes it's the sound of angels. Sometimes it refers to the bleating of sheep, the flapping of wings, or the hoofs of stampeding animals. Sometimes this word refers to the sound of an instrument, or the grinding of millstones, or even the sound of war. Sometimes it's used to talk about the sound of an earthquake, or the rumble of thunder, or the roar of raging seas. Now, why do I kind of dizzy you with all those details of what this word call often refers to? And it's this, because I think sometimes we hear so many different sounds and voices pulling at us every day that it's difficult through all the noise to determine, am I really hearing the voice of the Lord? Right? Which, there are these voices that we often hear. And we should ask ourselves, you know, are we recognizing that they're not all from God? So voices that we could hear, here's a few of them. First of all, we could be hearing the voice of Satan or the evil one, the devil, right? Satan wants to rob us of our eternal destiny. That's his plan. He will do what he can to lead us away from God. Satan is the father of lies, and yet he disguises himself as an angel of light, right? Most likely, if what you're hearing is the voice of Satan, you would know it in one sense in that it's contrary to what God would say. But it would be difficult in another sense because he's cunning and manipulative and deceptive. Right? There's probably a grain of truth in there, but it's twisted into a lie that is believable. All right? So oftentimes one of the voices that we hear that is competing for us or pulling at us is the voice of Satan or the evil one. It's one voice we may hear. Another voice we may hear is the world, right? The world. The world has kind of a wisdom system all its own that's often not in line with God's heart. In fact, the ways of this world are often the result of Satan's influence. So they're very connected. The wisdom of this world, though, is foolishness to God. So this is another voice we may be hearing. A third voice we may hear is the flesh. James 1:14 says this about our sin. It says, each person is tempted when he or she is lured and enticed by his own desire. Right? Our own desire, that's the flesh. We have our own wants and our own desires within us that aren't necessarily things that God has put there. It's this tendency towards sin that we have. So that's our flesh. And that's another voice we may be hearing. A fourth voice we may hear is the voice of reason. Right? Reason. Logic. Rationalization. We can logic ourselves into believing just about anything. And we can often convince others that we're right. Right? Call it whatever you will. But if it's not God's way of thinking, then it won't be in line with his heart. So reason, logic, is another way, another voice we may hear. The fifth thing we might hear is our conscience. Our conscience. We all have an inward sense of what's right and wrong. But right and wrong can be viewed differently from one person to another, because our influences are different. And the things that we come to believe or accept as right and wrong can be different. The ideas that my parents or the teachers that I had in my life that they ingrained in me are going to be different than the ones that you've experienced from your parents or your teachers, the people who have influenced you. So consequently, the moral standards are anything but standard, right? Everybody has their own idea of what's right and wrong. There's a verse in Scripture that talks about this very well where it just says everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Okay? That's about our conscience. Now, our conscience may reflect the heart of God, depending how in tune we are with Him. But it may not. It might not. So our conscience is another voice that we may hear. And then there's the voice of God. Okay? The voice of God. And there may be some other voices, but you get the idea. There are so many things pulling at us each and every day. But what we're looking to hear is the voice of God. Somewhere in the middle of all the noise that we're hearing and all the other voices, God has something to say to us. But how do we know if it's Him who's speaking? How do we know if we're truly hearing the voice of the Lord? Now, and we'll work through that. Now, this particular word, kol, or sound, that Isaiah hears is from God. We clearly know it's not just the sound of God because the text goes on to say what the Lord actually said to Isaiah, and we'll dive into that as we wrap up the series next week. But Isaiah says he hears the kol, the Q-O-L, the sound or the voice of Adonai, kol Adonai. Now you can underline the word Lord in there if you want to on that verse as well, because Isaiah hears the voice of the Lord. Now the root word here for that word is Adon, meaning Lord or Master. That's a general term. But this variation of it, Adonai, it refers to the proper name of God. Okay, it refers to the proper name of God. So Isaiah is saying, I heard the voice of the Lord, of God Himself. This word actually is kind of a replacement word for the word Yahweh, which the Hebrews believed was too holy to pronounce, and they didn't write it, so it's like a substitute to point to the one true God. So in Hebrew, this would be like saying, I heard the voice of Yahweh, the personal name of God. What a powerful thing to be able to hear the voice of the Lord and to be able to say it with confidence. Now, when God speaks to us, He may not use audible words. It may not be text like we can write out here, like Isaiah ultimately does. In fact, I would say most often He doesn't. But that doesn't mean He isn't speaking to us. So how do we hear the voice of the Lord? And just three primary ways. And if you've been around Portico for a while, these are not going to be new concepts to you, but I think there are three primary ways that God speaks to us. I think the first and probably most significant way He speaks to us is through His Word, right? Through the Bible. So we've got to ask ourselves, are we spending time reading it? Are we listening to what God has to say? This is the most significant. God has given us these words for our instruction. It's often referred to as a love letter to us. He has divinely inspired people to write words that He longs for us to know. It gives us a picture of who He is, what He's up to in the world, how He's at work, and what He wants from us. There's so much in Scripture that is designed for us to be God's words to us. It's why we call it the Word of God. Okay, so that's the primary way He speaks to us. It's through His Word. Are we spending time reading that? Are we hearing what He has to say through it? A second way that He often speaks is through His Spirit. Through His Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who He puts within us when we come to faith in Christ, He puts this Holy Spirit within us. That's an amazing thing. But the Holy Spirit will prompt us and guide us, often in the way that we should go. This may be in times of prayer. It may be, I would say it's especially in times of prayer, right? So are we spending time doing that? Are we spending time in prayer, talking with the Lord, listening to what He has to say, hearing His voice, hearing the Spirit? So He speaks through His Word, He speaks through His Spirit, and God often speaks through His people. Okay? God often speaks through His people. Sometimes there's a person who's a few steps further ahead of us in their journey with the Lord. And it can be the voice of the Lord speaking through them to us. Are you listening to what others have to say? Maybe about areas of your life that you're struggling in. Are you listening to what they have to say in regards to when you... Sometimes we just know there are people who have spiritual wisdom and knowledge and insight. And we should pay attention. Oftentimes that's God speaking to us through them. So are we hearing that? Those are the three primary ways that God speaks typically to us is through His Word, through His Spirit, and through His people. Now, an important note, God will never speak in a way that's inconsistent with the Bible, His Word. And you could kind of see this. If God is speaking, He's not going, and He is holy, He's perfect, He is completely without fault, He is not going to lie. Therefore, if this is His Word that He's given to us to understand Him, to know Him, to live by, He is not going to then speak to us in a way that's contrary to the Word that He's given to us. He's not going to do it. So if we can say, well, I think God is telling me this, but it doesn't stand up to what Scripture says, God is not telling you this. It's a different voice. It's a different voice. We've got to be in tune with what He says, because this is the way He's primarily chosen to speak to us. So He's never going to speak in a way that's inconsistent with His Word. If you are unsure about something you might feel God is leading you to do, or be a part of, or a decision you have to make, or a moral decision, check it against His Word. Because He will not speak in a way that's inconsistent with this. He won't lead you in a way that contradicts Scripture. Okay? So that's an important thing in all of those. Funnel back to this. It's what He's given us to be a guide for us. Okay, now other ways He may speak as well. Those are the primary three ways that we talked about, His Word, His people, and His Spirit. But God may also speak to us in some other ways. He may speak to us through our circumstances. Okay? He may speak to us through our circumstances. And again, I'll say these things, if He is leading and prompting and guiding us, check it against the Word of God. But sometimes He's using something we're experiencing in our life to get our attention or to stir something up in us. And we've got to pay attention to that. We've got to hear what He might be trying to say through those circumstances or in those moments. I've had a downloaded book for a while, but I haven't really gotten to reading it. Surprise, surprise. But I started reading over the last week, and I only got a chapter in. And it's the story of Martin Smith. It's a book by Martin Smith, who was the lead singer of the group Delirious and has written lots of worship songs that made its way into the church and that sort of thing. And he was talking about a time where he was on tour in India. And God really did something in his heart as he met this young girl named Farine, who was just about the same age as one of his kids, his own daughter. And the circumstances that surrounded her life there were pretty tragic. And the future that was ahead of her was not a pretty one in this place. And so his first initial thought was, we need to adopt this girl and bring her to our home, into our home. I mean, it really bothered him. Those circumstances spoke to him. Now, what it turned into being was that wasn't exactly what God was calling him to do, but he became very much involved in a ministry that reached out to kids like her in that area and had an impact on many, many different kids. Sometimes God uses the circumstances in our lives, the things that we're experiencing, to speak to us and to lead us. Now, the flip side of that is we can't just assume that every experience that we have is God at work. Right? We can't just assume an open door for us in life is God's will. Well, this door opened up, I should walk through it. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Sometimes an open door may take us away from what God wants for us. We may be offered a job when he wants us to stay exactly where we are. We may meet someone we really like, but they are not who God wants us to be with. We can't assume that every open door is a door God wants us to walk through. But at the same time, we have to know that God often speaks to us through the circumstances in our life. So there's a little bit of a tension there. Again, we can go back to how is he speaking to us through his word in regards to this? Is he speaking to us, you know, through his spirit? Or is there something through his people that he's trying to say? So we can refer back to those things as well. But sometimes he will use our experiences to speak to us. And another thing that he'll often use, he may speak to us through his peace, through a sense of his peace. I think sometimes God calls us to do some pretty hard things, some really difficult things. And you may have experienced this in your life. You know there's something ahead of you that God has in store. You know what's right. You know what he wants for you. But it's pretty daunting. It's pretty difficult. We know that this circumstance may not go well for us. But we have this sense of peace inside of us that God has given to confirm that we're making the right decision or we're taking the right step. It's often a peace that has no reasonable explanation. Like a person who's battling a terminal illness who is completely at peace with whatever happens in their life. A soldier who is heading off to war, who is at peace with whatever God's will is in this. So a missionary traveling to a foreign land. Right? Philippians 4:7 says this, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Now the context of this verse is a little bit different, but there is a peace that comes from God. And it does surpass all logic, all understanding, all reason. And it can guard our hearts and our minds before Jesus. That peace is something that God can use to speak to us one way or the other. The presence of God's peace in our lives can convince us or reassure us that we're doing the right thing. And potentially a lack of that peace in our life could indicate we're heading in the wrong direction or doing the wrong thing morally. 1 John 3:19-21 says this, "By this," and when he says by this, he's referring to our loving deeds or actions, says, "By this we shall know we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. For whenever our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God." He says, whenever our heart condemns us, in other words, when it's abundantly clear to us that the attitudes or behaviors or thoughts are not in line with the heart of God, God knows it. He knows everything. We can't hide that from him. But fortunately, it says if our heart condemns us, we're able to surrender that to him. We're able to take that to him because God is bigger than our hearts. His grace, as we talked about last week, is greater than our hearts. There's mercy, there's forgiveness. It's available for us so we can set our hearts at rest before him. But then he says, when our heart does not condemn us. In other words, if we can take a hard look at our attitudes, our behaviors, and our thoughts, and they hold up as good and right. If they hold up as being in line with the heart of God and consistent with the truth of God's word, then we have this confidence before him, this sense of peace from the Lord that will reassure us that our hearts are right before him. So God often gives us a sense of peace within us when we're walking in step with his will. So those are two things that we can look to. Our circumstances, God may be using that to speak to us. And he may also be granting us his peace or the lack of it to speak to us as well. Now again, this is really, all of this is not just about hearing God. It's about connecting with God. Right? Are we connecting with the Lord? Are we hearing the voice of the Lord? And I heard the voice of the Lord, Isaiah said. So in regards to connecting, just a couple of thoughts as we close that are maybe just my heartfelt thoughts on this. One, we need to find time for it. We need to find time to connect with God, and we need to make that a priority. Now, I do realize, hey, life is busy, life is chaotic, and we can speak to the Lord in prayer anytime, anywhere. And we should do that. We should constantly be doing that. But if God speaks primarily through His Word, His Spirit, and His people, then it isn't just enough to hear Him by just shooting up prayers here and there and going about our day. There's a lot more to it that He wants for us. We can't spend time reading His Word anytime, anywhere. We've got to create time for that. We can't just hear the voice of the Spirit anytime, anywhere. Oh, He might speak to us, but sometimes we need to get ourselves quiet to be able to hear Him. We have to be intentional about it. We have to carve out time for it. We can't spend time with God's people anytime, anywhere. We have to make that a priority. You know, I've heard it said that when it comes to showing love or expressing love to our kids, we should spell love like this, T-I-M-E. Right? That, I think, is a pretty wise saying. Our kids need our time for us to be able to show them our love. Well, it takes time to build a strong connection with God, a relationship with God. And here's the thing, God's got all the time in the world. It's us who need to clear our schedules. He's always available, but we need to make time for Him. And then the other thing that I just want to speak from my own personal experience is, you can't just turn it on whenever you want to or need to. Right? We can't go long periods of time without spending time with Jesus and then say, all right, well, today I'm going to spend time with Jesus and expect that it's going to be awesome. And He's going to speak to us, and it's going to be incredible. Now, He might. But typically, if we get out of the habit of studying God's Word or spending time in prayer, or connecting with others, with God and others through church, it takes a lot of effort to recapture that relationship. You know, yes, sometimes you can pick up right where you left off. Most of the time, it's a grind to get back there. So I'd encourage you, just like a friendship or a marriage or a relationship with our kids, let's be cultivating our relationship and that connection with God on a constant basis. Protect it and treasure it at all costs. Okay? So this just wanted to end with a few of my own heartfelt thoughts on that, and I say that mostly because this is a battle I'm in right along with all of you. Right? Finding that time to be with the Lord, connecting with God. So if your relationship or your experience of God is underwhelming, kind of blah, not going so great, again, we ask ourselves, do we have a vision of God, of how great He really is? Do we have an accurate vision of God? Do we have something in our lives that we need to humble ourselves before Him and surrender to Him? You know, and if it's not either of those things, let's ask ourselves, is it our connection with Him? Right? Do we need to be hearing from Him? And I heard the voice of the Lord. Can we say we're doing that? Or we're experiencing that? Let's make time for that to happen. All right, I'm going to pray and then we'll be done for the morning. Let's pray. Actually, I'll ask you to stand. Let's stand as we pray. Lord God, this morning, as we just consider different aspects of hearing Your voice, knowing how we can understand or hear from You, what it might take for us to do that. What I don't want to be lost in my own heart and in our hearts is the fact that You are a God who longs for a deep, deep relationship and connection with us. It's not completely dependent on us. You are longing for us to come to You. You're longing for us to abide with you. And your heart is overwhelmed with joy when we sit with you, be with you, express our love for you, listen to you. You long for that from us. And there is no other relationship in this world that will ever mean more to us than the one that we can have with you. And yet, so often, our closest relationships, whether it be in our families, in our friendships, or with you, or they're the ones we overlook, we take for granted. Lord God, help us not to do that. Help us to see you as our strongest desire, our one desire in life, to know you more completely and fully. And so God, give us the strength we need to create opportunities for that relationship to grow. Because while you're constantly calling to us, we're often constantly overwhelmed by anything but you. Help us to set those things aside, to make you our priority, to make you our one desire. And God, when we do attempt to do that, we pray and ask that you would bless that effort, that you would meet us in that place, that you would be speaking to us through your word, through your people, through your spirit, that we would be able to say, I heard you, God. And as we hear you, then give us the strength to move forward and to do the things you're calling for us to do. Lord, I know this is a big ask. And I know for many of us this is a big struggle. But we know that you are capable of bringing about this change in our life, and so we want to commit that to you this morning and ask you for it. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.